This is Wade Brethke. But the chief organizer's report on the NLRB joint employer decision is huge for subcontracted workers. The NLRB, on the last day when it had enough members to issue rulings before its one Republican member's resignation took effect, issued what could be a monumentous decision, if allowed to stand, by returning the definition of co-employer status to pre-1980 interpretations. The headlines are saying this decision creates a path for organizing fast food workers. I'll have to think about that. It definitely clarifies bargaining relationships, but one centralized corporate entity has not meant that there's been a smooth path for organizing Walmart or other major retailers, and their workforces are larger by a factor of 10 place to place compared to most fast food stands. We'll see whether there's any union that wants to step up to the task now, but as I've argued previously, the NLRB route on organizing will still be unattractive to any union not willing to make a 20 to 30 year investment in such a strategy. The real impact of this decision will be for the gazillion subcontracted workers, temporary workers, casual workers, and their precarious grasp on their jobs, and the fragile and fraught bargaining positions of their unions working with them to protect and advance their interests. The decision was brought in a case involving Browning Ferris, or BFI, as most of us know the outfit. Along with Waste Management, they're one of the huge companies that have marketed and benefited from the huge push for municipal privatization of sanitation and recycling services in the USA. The little-known reality of such privatization by the taxpayers in these cities is that most of the labor, usually all but the truck drivers, is subcontracted out to temporary employment services. The Teamsters, in this case, organized the subcontracting recycling center workers and correctly wanted to push BFI to the table since they control pretty much everything about the job. Local 100 United Labor Unions knows this routine intimately. Almost 20 years ago, when we organized hundreds of minimum wage laborers on the back of Waste Management garbage trucks throughout South Louisiana cities and New Orleans, Lafayette, and Baton Rouge, it was front page news in the Wall Street Journal. We won all the elections, but only after losing a hearing at the NLRB where we tried to force Waste Management to be named a co-employer. Later, in winning the contract, the temporary company admitted to us that they had perjured themselves at the hearing because Waste Management had told them it would cancel their contract if they were named a joint employer. By that time, we'd won huge wage and benefit increases by exploiting the fact that as semi-casual workers, our members could simply decide they were tired and not come to work, and by demonstrating how that worked in July, as garbage sat rotting and stinking in heat and humidity, we closed the contract at 11 p.m. one night to keep the trucks rolling and the hoppers, as the laborers were called, slinging the cans into the truck. We organized similar workers in Dallas. In fact, we're called gunslingers there. Regardless, the wink and nod dodge of these companies has meant that we have had to reorganize them time after time. We have a huge case still pending before the NLRB on one company. This same situation exists in tens of thousands of other situations where companies routinely evoke 30-day cancellations when a union is organized, just shouldering the burden for the real weight held by the deeper-pocketed outfit. Pushing the joint employer buttons years ago led to the first victories in Pittsburgh for the Justice for Janitors campaign when building owners buckled, and that same reality has triggered other successes where property owners were pressured successfully, though before this decision, at some risk of secondary boycott charges. Now they will likely either have to employ the workers directly or stand up and carry their burdens. Same for hotels that have subbed out their housekeepers, schools that flip over their custodial and food service contractors, nursing homes that do the same, and on and on and on. The huge percentage of wage theft and unfair labor practice claims that are never collected because the subcontractors have collapsed may now finally come due as well. It will be interesting to see whether or not public employers can be forced to the table as well. That's one worth watching. So who knows when and how this might impact fast food workers other than to make McDonald's and the like liable for unfair labor practices. But regardless, this is huge for the vast millions of part-time contingent workers on subcontracts everywhere. For workers and their unions, this is a game changer. This has been Wade Rathke. For questions or comments, www.chieforganizer.org. You take it from here to there.